Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcata Economics, live from the New Orleans Investment Conference in New Orleans, if you can go figure that. So you can see people walking in the hallway behind me on what's been a fun conference. I only got here last night. It started Sunday, but certainly a different vibe here. It's been a couple of years since I've been here. The last one was 2019, but certainly nice to see a very different feeling. Of which I think a large part of that is that, you know, in gold and silver investing, as the years go by and you see the price often not respond, there's a tendency to wonder, did I see something wrong? And I think there's generally a feeling of optimism, certainly where the prices are now, which we will dig into along with an update on that London New York silver spread, which indicates that all is not necessarily over or resolved. So let's take a look at the pricing. This is reset because hour later in time zone. So we're past the 5:45 Eastern cutoff, but gold was down today. Silver was down over a dollar. And you can see the gold futures at 39.43. Silver, the futures at 46.90. The spot price at 47.17. So both metals a bit off their high, gold almost up to 4,400, silver, I believe the spot price did touch over 54 at one point. We will take a quick look here just to make sure, but while that is getting pulled up, in fact, we'll go back here. So we see 46.91 on the futures price, 47.16. So we're about 25 cents back into backwardation with the spot price trading over the futures, which is not normal. You would have normalization if it were the other way around, but because we had that shortage of silver in London, you saw that spread blow out to as high as, I think the peak was 295, close to that $3 range. This came back in and was normalized. The futures went back over the spot price last week for about a day, and then it's gone back into backwardation since then. Now, also while that's happening, we've seen about 40 million ounces come out of the COMEX since October 9th, which I think you could reasonably say was the day the silver market broke, where that spread blew out. And one of the things that we saw was a lot of silver leaving the COMEX. We did see some silver leave China as well. Got some numbers on that. Here was about 2 weeks ago, Reuters was saying 100 to 150 tons, which is about 3 to 5 million ounces. So not a truckload. So add that to 40 million or so coming from the COMEX. We'll call it 45, 50 million to be conservative. Although if you have a free float at about 150 million ounces, the free float of what's available to the LBMA to underpin their trading, but the daily turnover is about 250 million ounces, and you send 45 or 50 million ounces over there, you're still well short. And if this is still happening in the midst of a deficit, that makes it even further that we haven't seen what I would describe as a long-term resolution to this, like similar to the dynamics where you see the Trump administration coming up with new plans to, you know, make a couple bucks here and there and talk about how, well, we're, you know, reining in spending and whatnot yet. I don't know if they've done that even on a short-term basis, but none of these plans seem to be addressing a more long-term, sustainable, permanent solution. Might add, we saw Robert Gottlieb from managing director in the gold and silver desk at JP Morgan. He said he thought we need another 100 to 150 million ounces physically in London for the market to normalize. We're at least 50 million ounces short. As the spread has come in the last day or so, the withdrawals were a little bit lower. That can change quickly, but in either case, this is not over. And I would suggest that when you go back and look at the pricing, yes, I know I was going to pull up the, excuse me, the silver spot price to see what was our peak there. So if we go back, so this is the, well, that's the futures. So we want the spot price, and that would be this one. We'll see if it actually did get over 54. somewhere close to that. 52 week range, 54.50. Okay. So it's declined $7 since then. Certainly a significant sell off. I'm not sure if this is finally bigger than what we saw in April following the reciprocal tariffs when silver went from over 35 to under 28. It's getting close. And as I mentioned in today's Substack column, for those of you who get that at goldandsilverdaily.substack.com, I point out that we did have, you know, we've had sell-offs of this extent. We had one earlier this year, and the price soared right past that shortly after. Does that guarantee that we'll get a repeat now? Of course not. But I think it also does show that it's also possible that maybe it won't continue selling off, because we have seen this before. So at least some precedent that just because we've had a significant sell-off here doesn't mean that the situation that drove the price higher has been resolved. And for all the reasons I just described, I don't think that we've seen the end of that. And again, if you're consuming more silver than you have, that's going to lead us to these conditions. If you only get that 50 million ounces, it'd probably be sooner than later that something like this pops back up. And we shall see. Although I would also add that when you think about, and let's pull this back out so we can see it clearly. Here we are on September 7th. Let's go back a little farther. There we are. August 18th. Silver was $38, $37.50, $38. Then, so that's August 18th. And then here by October 15th, it was over 54. Less than 2 months later, so 38 to 54, I get a $16 move on that, which is almost a 50% move in 2 months. When you see that, again, you can, I understand there's different schools of thought of how to react to this, but I would say anytime you see a move like that, you should expect this at some point. So could it go lower? Of course it could. We saw silver go to under $12 in March of 2020, and then a couple months later, it soared to 29. So when you see short-term moves, they can mean things, but that also doesn't say that, okay, the thing corrected, now we're now your thesis is wrong. So obviously the thing to keep an eye out for will be, I don't think we've gotten the latest LBMA data yet on their new inventory levels. I'll be looking to that. I continue to check any reports that India has resumed flow, that silver has resumed flowing to India. I had not seen any reports, although I'm looking at a private message that I sent to someone in the industry, and I was asking any indication of India getting any silver yet. And he says, I understand that yes, the issue is mitigated in India. So I will dig into that more this week and see what we can find out. I've not seen any reports confirming that, but I still think back to this idea that, well, India was buying at a time when they traditionally don't because the price was elevated. Then in the middle of that, they ran out. So basically they couldn't have any. And what is the general human reaction? If you want something and then it's taken away and you told you can't have it, will that lead to pent up demand? So it'll be interesting to see the reaction in India once we get confirmation that the silver has been going back there. And that is obviously one thing that we will keep an eye on. Few other notes here. Not going to go too long today. Showed you that one here. Also in the midst of this, you know, I mentioned that we did have some silver coming from China, although as Vince Lancey reported yesterday on our morning show and also on his fantastic vblgoldfix.substack.column, breaking, China tightens its grip on silver. The Ministry of Commerce of the People's Republic of China has issued announcement 2025-68. Probably number 69 will be following that. They might go to number 70 after that one. But 68 imposed stringent conditions on the export of three critical minor metals, tungsten, antimony. I'm still not sure which of the two it is, but also and silver. For the period of 26 to 27. So Vince has been talking about things like this, forecasting this for years, and here is a latest piece of evidence of something like that happening. Might also add Money Metals reporting yesterday that central bank gold buying hit its highest level of the year in September. Now, after three consecutive years of 1,000-ton-plus additions, slightly lower this year, we see so far in 2025, central banks have gobbled up 634 tons of gold based on official data. As Vince has, and others have talked about plenty, there is a lot of gold that doesn't get reported. So what the real numbers are, that's a topic for another day, but at least of what's being reported, 634. So if that's over three quarters, call that another 210. You're on pace for 844. Hey, maybe get a strong quarter. So could be a little bit lower than last year, although, as they mentioned here, but above the pre-22 average of 400 to 500 tons. So maybe 1,000 tons plus might not be, but still elevated. And again, I would suggest that when you look at the things that are happening right now, onshoring, the different steps that the Trump wants to bring manufacturing back and how that is going to work, aside from a lower dollar or some sort of gold revaluation, remains, I wouldn't say a mystery. It actually seems rather clear, and we will see how that goes. Here's an interesting one. I'd seen this a couple months ago, and I thought the data was wrong the first time I saw it, and then I confirmed it a couple of times, but here's the Shanghai Futures Exchange weekly gold stocks. See, they've added a lot of gold there in 2025. Would you have 2.5 tons here a little over a year ago in 2024 and now up to 87.015 tons. So I think you can see the activity in China and what is going on there. And then a few last notes before we wrap up here. Not that one, but yeah, I did just want to mention, we did this call last week. Why the IRS manual repeatedly calls its own tax code voluntary. Certainly a very intriguing call. It was interesting. I've never seen a video do this before where it had about 4,000 views after the first day or two, which is usually when it trails off. I'm not sure if this got posted somewhere, but getting a lot of traffic. And I would say if you have not seen this one yet and you're not a fan of certain government policies, by all means, not telling you what you should or shouldn't do, but I've been saying the time we've been doing the channel of the things that we've shared, this is in the top five of ones I would suggest that if you watch, you would be happy that you did. And
I've seen plenty of power banks. So my
and I'm not going to do this to not trying to brag here, but if you see some of the comments here, I think you will see that people seem to really enjoy this one. So anyway, I won't go through that now, but I think you would want to see this because in terms of things your government doesn't share with you that may be of great interest, that is at the top of the list. So again, if you go to the channel and look at the videos down there, why the IRS manual repeatedly calls its own tax code voluntary. So with that said, just a quick update. Maybe we'll do a video where we can take a tour around the exhibitor room tomorrow. Good to be back here. A lot of good people, a good conference. And anyway, that is an update on what is going on with the London situation. Certainly, as we've seen, you know, the prices come in. And again today, although, as I just mentioned when I did an interview with, like, there she is. Charlotte, say hello to your fans. There, yep. So I was honored to do this video next to the great Charlotte McLeod after we did an interview. And one of the things we talked about is that if you're really not sure of how these things are playing out or what to think of this sell-off, I would say just start. You don't have to, not that this is the only part of the equation, but if you say 5 or 10 years from now, do I think it's possible the gold and silver price are lower than today when I factor in all the things that are going on? I would say ask that question, and then in terms, if you think about that first, then any other decisions that may come up, do you buy or do you sell or do you do anything here? I find that's a helpful framework from which to start and then dig into things from there. So Anyway, hopefully that's helpful. I would like to imagine you're having a wonderful day out there. Thanks for tuning in, spending a little bit of your time with us. And with that said, going to wrap up for now, and we'll see how everything looks tomorrow.